se resbaló, o sea, no llegó a dar mal a Abraham.
Rab Avram Sternau. Wow, he was the grandson of Rabbi Nathan and also of Rabbi Aaron Mibreslev. It's written on him that he had Ruach HaKodesh. He established the kibbutz HaKadosh of Hasidim Breslev in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Avram Sternartz. He was a chazan in the Klois, I think, for something like 40 years. 70
years.
70 years. 70 years chazan in Klois, the Klois Be'uman. A lion. So we're dedicating our shiur to honor him, to respect him, that we hope that he's gonna stand on our heads and dance on our heads in the world to come. So there was a righteous man that his name was Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Leibovitch. Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Leibovitch once told that one time when he was young, he came with his father in Shabbat morning to do a kiddush in their house in somewhere in Hungary before the Holocaust. And they were sitting, they had a table in their backyard, and suddenly officers, cruel officers, came to their backyard. His father was wearing his talit. He said that because Ursha, this was the name of the village, Urshave. Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Leibovitch, he had a stamp, Chotemet, that it was written on that Chotemet, the Admor Me'urshave. The Admor Me'urshave. One time, one of the students came to him and asked him, Rav, something about Urshave. He asked him what it means, Urshave, something. He asked him what's the meaning of the word Urshave, something. Started to scream at him, you're a murderer, you're a murderer, atayotzeach, atayotzeach, screaming at him. He didn't ask him again. Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Leibovitch. So, zchutot again aleinu. So, Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Leibovitch said that when he came with the talit, his father came with the talit on his head. Why? Because in Urshave, there was no iruv in the village. They had a fence in their backyard, so they could metaltelim from the house to the yard. But in the village, there was no iruv. This is why his father was walking from the Beit Knesset with a talit on his shoulders. So he came into the yard, backyard, sat at the table, started to sing the songs of the Zmirot before of the Kiddush, of Kiddush HaRabba, Kiddush of Shabbat morning. And suddenly those horrible goyim officers came into their backyard and demand from his father to open his store. He had a store, and they demand him for the soldiers, for Hungary army, I don't know what exactly was going on there, and that he should open the store for them in Shabbos. So he was apologizing, he was very polite. His father's name was Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev ben Rabbi Yechiel Tzvi. His father's name was Rabbi Yechiel Tzvi. His grandfather's name was Menachem Yitzchak, Rabbi Menachem Yitzchak. Rabbi Menachem Yitzchak, I think, Bli Neder, he was a student of the Yitav Lev, Yitav Lev, No, it's Satmer, exactly. Satmer. This was the word that I was talking about. And he was related to them in a family connection somehow. I don't know that connection. So he was a very hidden tzaddik. One time Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Leibovitch told that when he was 12, he was walking with his father over there in Hungary, and he saw souls, neshamot, migulgalot, stuck in stones and trees. And he asked his father, what am I seeing? So his father told him, leave it for now. It's not the time for that. One day you're going to understand. Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Leibovitch was fixing souls, fixing neshamot. His helper Rabbi Aaron said, the son of Rabbi David Chaim Stern said, that one time he came to his room at night and he saw that he was sweating. Every night, usually, he was changing his clothes maybe 3 or 4 times, or maybe 6 times, every night. Why was sweating so much at night? so many stories. One time, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich said a chidush in front of Rabbi Aharon Mibelz. Rabbi Aharon Agadol Mibelz, huge Rabbi Aharon Mibelz. And Rabbi Aharon Mibelz was so impressed from his chidush that he told him, a brain like yours, a head like yours, you're not allowed to let it rest. So then he accepted on himself not to go to sleep from that day and on. And he would never go to sleep. Maybe he was fainted once in a while, I don't know what, but he never went to sleep. In that night that he was sweating so much, that he was even with air conditioning, nothing would help him. He was sweating and sweating and sweating all night long. And Rabbi Aharon told him, maybe I'm going to give you pills for sleep. He was an old person. So he told him, I'm not allowed to sleep. I'm not allowed to take pills for sleep. So he told him, why are you not allowed? He said, Rabbi Aharon Mibelz, he forbidden me to take pills. He told him, Rabbi Aharon Mibelz, I met him 70 years ago, 60 years ago. So he told him, no, but he told me that a brain like I have, not allowed to let him rest. This is how we learned that he's not allowed to take pills for sleeping. So at that night, he was sweating so much, maybe not in that night, but he was sweating every night so much, so much. And one time Rabbi Aharon said, Rabbi Aharon, his helper, came to him, Rabbi Aharon Stern, came to him and asked him what's going on. So he told him, there is thousands of neshamot that are coming to me and they're all pushing themselves to me that I'm going to fix them. And he had a lot of stress out of that. And he was sweating, dealing with all of those souls. And Rabbi Aharon said, I'm a Litvak. I don't believe in those things. He's from Ponovich. He said, I don't believe in those things. But after that, he opened my eyes in that night. You cannot denial. You cannot say that it's not true. He opened his eyes and Rabbi Aharon is testifying and saying that he saw thousands of souls, neshamot, in that room, mamash, suffering, coming, begging to receive tikkun from that Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich. So, I have another story to tell.
Back to this grocery store.
Back to the grocery store. All right.
You didn't finish the story.
I know. I remember both questions. So, but I have another story that I want to tell you. I remember the second part of that night that he was sweating so much that Rabbi Aharon said that in the regular night he would switch his pajama, his clothes, his outfit a few times every night, and that night he changed his clothes twice as many, maybe 10 times or something like that in that night because all of the sweat. And he asked him, what is different? Manishtana laila azeh mikol halelot? What happened in this night and all of other nights? So he answered to him, I had a dream. So he asked him, what you saw in your dream? So he told him, I saw a huge factory of workers that building amazing buildings, huge, high buildings. And I was standing and I was so impressed from those wonderful buildings and those workers that were climbing and building those buildings, and I was standing amazed to see those amazing buildings, and suddenly the Menahel HaAvodah, how you say Menahel HaAvodah? The manager, the boss, came to me and told me, why are you not doing nothing? Why are you just standing like that and looking and you're not moving yourself? So he told him, what can I do? What should I do? So he gave me an iron pillar,
rod,
and told him that he needs to bend it. And this is why he was sweating so much, because he had to bend that pole, that iron pole. Who knows what's going on in this world at all? So, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich, when he was young, he was with his son, with his father, in their backyard, and those officers demand his father to open the stove in Shabbat, and he was apologizing. His father, he was a Rebbe in a Talmud Torah in Cheder. There was another Rebbe in that Cheder, different story. Mm-hmm. That Rebbe in that Cheder, he was from the Tzionim, and his father never looked at his face. Never. And one time when he came, so someone asked him, why you're not looking at his face when he's entering to the room, to your class, He said, when he's coming, I see hay opened under his legs. After a few years, they saw that he was Moser, and he was Moser Jews to the government over there. He was a real Rasha, a very famous Rasha. I don't remember his name, Baruch Hashem, don't need to mention. But his father saw that in Ruach HaKodesh. So they were sitting over there, and his father was apologizing to those officers that he cannot open the store, and that it's Shabbat today for the Jews, and the Jews are not allowed to open the stores in Shabbat, and he's apologizing, and they were threatening him and forcing him, and he was telling him, I really apologize, I cannot do that, no matter what you're going to do, I cannot open the store in Shabbat. And he promised them, if you will wait until Motzei Shabbat, I'm going to open the store for you. You can take whatever you want. I'm not going to charge you nothing. Not like he had a choice, but he was very polite and told them, whatever you're going to need, I'm going to open the store for you and going to give you whatever you're going to need. And the officers didn't accept his excuse and told him that they're gonna shoot him if he will not gonna open the store for them now, like they commanded him. So he told them that he have a solution. He was a rabbi, he was a posek, he was a dayan, and he told them that there is a solution. If they want, he can give the key to his young daughter, and she gonna go with them, and she gonna open the store for them, and they can take whatever they want, and it's okay. And they started to laugh, and they told him, we're giving you 10 minutes, and showing him on the watch, 10 minutes, if you're not gonna come with us in 10 minutes, and then they dragged him to the wall behind the house, and shown him that wall, and told him, if you're not gonna open the store for us, not gonna walk with us in 10 minutes, you're gonna be shot, we're gonna shoot you here on that wall. And they took him back to the place that he was sitting, and they're standing in the entrance to the backyard laughing. Three soldiers, I think, were there, a few soldiers. And in that time, the wife, Marat Golda, the wife of Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz, the wife of his father, of Rabbi Yechiel Tzvi, the mother of Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz, and the daughters and the kids, all of them came to cry to the father, it's a pekuach nefesh. So they asked him, please go and open the store. You're going to lose your life now. All of the family, everyone going to die. What's going to be with us? And what are you doing? And crying. And Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev is telling that his father didn't hear them at all. He didn't care. He was ready to sacrifice himself for Shlushat HaShabbat, and he didn't listen to them at all. And after a few minutes, he stood up from his seat. After 5-6 minutes, he stood up from his seat. Everyone thought that he surrendered, and those officers started to laugh, and he went to that place that they said that they're going to shoot him in that place, and he was preparing himself for death on Kiddush Hashem. He was standing with his face to the wall and just wait, and he didn't do nothing. Rabbi Yehuda said that mamash, you could see that he was so happy and to accept the death on Kiddush Hashem for the Shabbat Kodesh, that he didn't care about death at all. He wasn't afraid at all from none of the horrible things that happened that day. And after that, it came something like 10 minutes, or much, it was close to be 10 minutes, someone came. There is two versions to the end of that story, both of them being told by Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz. One of them is saying that an officer, a general, someone came to the officers that were there and told them, what are you doing? So they told him, that person, that Jew, he needs to open the store, and he's not opening the store. So he told him, why are you wasting time on nonsense? And he dragged them away from there, and they haven't shot his father, they didn't kill his father. This is one version. The second can be the same, but a little bit different. He said that came few officers, few generals, few important people, and they were the fathers, the Avot HaKadoshim, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that saved his father from death in Shabbat Kodesh. After that they went, his father came back to the table and said to the Kiddush and sang all of the songs of Kiddush of Shabbat Kodesh like nothing happened, and for him it was just Kiddush Hashem. This is where Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich came to the world. This house in Urshave, that's in Hungary. Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich said another story. One time, there was a very old person in Hungary before the Holocaust. That person, just to tell you, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich was 17 years old in the time that the Holocaust started. And the Nazis murdered almost all of his families. I think that he left with one or two sisters. I'm not sure. One of his sisters for sure stayed alive, but they were separated, of course. He was in Auschwitz in the Holocaust, and he suffered a horrible suffering. I'm going to tell you another story from Auschwitz and Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich. There was one goy in the neighborhood in that village of Urshave in Hungary that the goyim would abuse him all of the time. He was a young, thin, weak goy, and the goyim were abusing him. And his father, Rabbi Yechiel Tzvi, took him into his house always and was helping him and washing him and giving him food and whatever that he needed, he gave that goy. And one time Rabbi Yehuda Zev asked him, "Father, what do you have with that goy that you're helping him so much?" So he told him, "Shlach lachmecha al pnei amayim, urevot hayamim timtzeenu. Send your bread on the water, one day you're going to find it." When Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich was in Auschwitz, one of the days, the most horrible days in his life, he went in front of the kitchen and suddenly he saw that goy. He was the cook, the tabach, in the camp in Auschwitz. He was the tabach. And he went to him and he saw him, recognized him, and he was feeding him every day in Auschwitz. And he said, "Without that mitzvah tzedakah of my father, I wouldn't survive in the camp in Auschwitz." Only people that had miracles like those, a lot of people had miracles like those, they survived. Without those miracles, the supply of food in Auschwitz wasn't enough for people to survive. Only by miracles people could survive over there. So, there was one Rebbe in Urshave, in Hungary, that was very, very old. He was over 90 in the beginning of the Holocaust. And after the Holocaust, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich in Eretz Israel, he met that person, that righteous man, that tzaddik, and he was amazed what he's doing here in Eretz Israel, how he came. No one could survive above the age of 90, the Tophet, the Holocaust that they went through to Auschwitz and everything. No one could survive all of that. So how he came here to Eretz Israel? So we asked him, "How you came?" So he answered to him, "They brought me here." So Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich explained that angels took him from Urshave and brought him to Eretz Israel. And he wasn't suffering from the Holocaust at all. Angels took him from Urshave and brought him to Eretz Israel. And because of which merit, Rabbi Yehuda Zev said that when that person sees people comes out from the toilet, bathroom, and they had toilet paper stuck to their soles of the shoes, he was bending and taking that from their shoes, that they won't have no disgrace, that people gonna see that he went out from the toilet. Because of that mitzvah, angels came and took him from Urshave and brought him to Eretz Israel. So, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich, this is a real righteous man. He was and still a rabbi of our rabbi, Rav Shalom Arush. For 6 years, Rav Shalom was helping, a helper and a student of Rav Yehuda Zev Leibovich. One time, the first meeting of Rav Shalom and Rav Yehuda Zev Leibovich, it was in a hotel in Yam HaMelech. They brought both of them to let them meet. They wanted Rav Shalom to meet Rav Yehuda Zev Leibovich. And Rabbi Yehuda Zev, what happened over there? Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich for weeks said to his helpers that he wants to go to Yam HaMelech, that he has to go to Yam HaMelech. And how they're going to drag him, he was in a wheelchair. How he got to the wheelchair? One time Rabbi Yehuda Zeev Leibovich told his helper to bring a wheelchair into the house. And he brought the wheelchair and he sat on that wheelchair and didn't stand up from it anymore. He accepted that wheelchair on himself. He just sat on a wheelchair one day. One time Rabbi Yehuda Zeev Leibovich went in the, he was living in the house of Rabbi Aaron that I told you about a few times for 10.5 years more or less. And one time he went to the bathroom and suddenly they heard a huge noise and they ran into the closed door
hallway.
Baruch Hashem, well that I am. And they saw him on the floor and the wheelchair was also fell. And they asked him, what happened to you? So he screamed, he said, it's the Nazis. He couldn't understand what he's talking about. Which Nazis, what happened? So they took him back to his bed and they helped him and everything. Then Rabbi Aaron asked him, what happened to you? So he told him, it's the Nazis. So he told him, the Holocaust was 70 years ago. There's no Nazis anymore. What are you, who done that to you? So he didn't answer. After a while, he told him, after a few hours in that day, he told him it was the Samech Mem himself. It was the devil himself. And Rabbi Aaron looked at him and he told him, you don't believe me? And he took his shirt up and he had scratches, wounded, bleeding, scratches on his flesh, on his skin. He told him it was the Samech Mem himself. He was fighting the Samech Mem himself. It's a known thing that he was growing his fingernails. And he said, things that we could do back then, there was klipa, husk that was hovering on Am Yisrael. He said, things that we could break back then, now even with our fingernails, we cannot even scratch, cannot do nothing. Before the Holocaust, Rabbi Aaron Mivels, one time, he was standing, mamash, in the day before that the Holocaust started. He was standing and observing somewhere, and no one knew what he's doing. For hours he was standing. After a while, the Holocaust started, and they asked him, what were you doing in that day? He said, I was looking for a crack in the Tavat Ni'u from Am Yisrael, of the klipa, of the husk, of lust for women in Am Yisrael. If I would find a crack, I could cancel it, all of the Holocaust, but I couldn't find a crack. Such a horrible klipa of lust for women caused that horrible Holocaust. Horrible Holocaust. So, where were we? Rabbi Yehuda Zeev Leibovich in his house of Rabbi, what?
Yam HaMelech.
In Rabbi Aaron's house. So we asked them for weeks to go to Yam HaMelech. And Rabbi Aaron, in the end, he reserved, you say? A room in a hotel, and they invited few important people, righteous people, I don't know, to the same place. And also Rav Shalom came to that place. And in the same day that they came, he met Rav Shalom and they sat and they were talking for a few hours, maybe 1 hour, I don't know what. After they finished their conversation, Rabbi Yehuda Zeev Leibovich told Rabbi Aaron, this is it, we can go back to Bnei Brak. So he told him, what? Came to a vacation, everyone with the luggage came to Yam HaMelech at last, weeks of planning, and they came the same day to Bnei Brak. Rabbi Yehuda Zeev Leibovich came to that place to meet Rav Shalom. This was the main thing that he came. Rav Shalom said that this was the main reason. It's written, Rabbeinu said that every righteous person, he's got a lot of reasons for everything that he's doing. You cannot say that this was the only reason that he came to Yam HaMelech, for sure. But you can say that this was the main reason. This is how I heard Bli Neder from Rav Shalom. Everyone that was coming to meet Rav Leibovich, few of them, a lot of them, were receiving from him horrible rebukes. One time, one of the people came to him that he didn't have kids for years, over 9 years, 10 years, if I'm not wrong. He came to him. The helper came to Rav Yehuda Zeev Leibovich and told him, please, be Rahman with him, please be soft. Don't curse him, don't rebuke him, please be soft with him. So he told him, don't worry. When that person came into the room after 9 years of suffering, he told Rav Yehuda Zeev Leibovich that his wife and him, they don't have kids, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz screamed at him, Zevel! Zevel, it means garbage! This is what it is screamed on that poor person. That poor person started to cry and run away, and the helper came to Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz and told him, Arav, why have you done that? I asked you, please, he's suffering so much. You can never imagine what's going on in his house. It's hell. His wife, she's suffering and crying so much. And why you called him Zevel? Why you called him? So he told him, Zevel, it's the first letter of the words Ben Zachar Leploni, a male boy to that person. After 9 months, that wife gave birth. One time they were in a trip to Kivrei Tzadikim, also to Uman with Rav Shalom, and they were in a tzion of one of the Tzadikim. I think, this is what I remember, but I can be wrong for sure, that it was in the tzion of Rabbi Zusha, if I'm not wrong. And in that tzion, when the son of Rabbi Aaron came into the tzion, suddenly Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz looked at him and started to scream, I wish you're gonna die, I wish you're gonna die, you're gonna die, and cursing him with horrible curses. Rabbi Aaron started to shake. He knew the power of every word of that righteous man, Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz. Now he's cursing his son. He didn't know what to do. He ran to him and started to cry, Arav, what he done, what he done, tell me, I'm gonna punish him. don't curse him. So he told him, I never cursed your son. I never cursed no Jew in my life. So he told him, Arav, you just cursed him. Everyone in the tzion heard it. He told him, no. When he came into the tzion, I saw the angel of death coming with him, and I cursed the angel of death. Rav Shalom said that Rabbi Aaron, he was Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz, he wasn't allowed to reveal himself to people. He could scream on the angel of death, but if he would do that and people would see that there's no one there, they would think that they would even believe that he is such a huge tzaddik, but he had to hide himself. This is the hidden tzaddikim, the tzaddikim nistarim. They have to hide themselves, that no one gonna know nothing about them. So they were dressing all of the salvations and things like those. Rav Shalom also received a lot of rebukes from him. Once I heard that Rav wasn't receiving rebukes from him, just only maybe one or twice. But after it, when I spoke with Rav Aaron about it, he told me, no. He received a lot of rebukes from Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz. One time Rav Yehuda Zev Leibovitz asked Rabbi Aaron, called him when Rav Shalom was sitting close to his bed. For 6 years he was going mamash almost every week, and a lot of times more than once a week, to his house. And he was just sitting and learning over there. When the reporter of the Iton LaMishpacha asked Rav Shalom, what were you learning together? So Rav Shalom answered to him, we were learning what that we were learning. Hayinu lomdim ma shehayinu lomdim. Hayinu lomdim ma shelomdim. What that people learns, what that learns. Didn't answer him at all. So Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz called Rav Aaron and told him, you want to see Malach Hashem Tzvakot? So he told him, yes. So he told him, look at Rav Shalom Arush. This is Malach Hashem Tzvakot. Rav Aaron said that he never heard Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz talking about no one like that he talked about Rav Shalom Arush. That he called him Malach Hashem Tzvakot. It's a huge, huge, huge thing. Rav Aaron said, huge, old, Talmidei Chachamim and Mekubalim, he said, with long, white beards, that you would beg them to bless you, would come to Rav Leibovitz, and Rav Leibovitz was disgracing them, telling them, you're a no'ef, you're a ganav, you're a thief, you're... Horrible words. For sure he was purifying and fixing every one of them. For sure he was opening doors and saving lives and everything. He testified himself that he never was angry, never cursed no Jew, never screamed on no Jew. On no Jew, never. Only on the Yetzer Hara, only to help them, only to save them. So, Baruch Hashem. Yehuda Zev Leibovitz. There is a lot more to tell, a lot more than we know. Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz said to his friends, to his helpers, to the righteous people, that actually the reason that he came to the world is to prepare himself to the salvations that he's going to make after death. After that, he's going to pass away from his tomb, from his grave, in the cemetery of Chazon Ish in Bnei Brak. The salvations that he's going to make in that place, this is the reason that he came to this world. Everyone that was in his tziyun can feel a taste of Shechina in that place. Mamash. Cemetery of the Chazon Ish, entering in the main gate, going to the first intersection, turning left in the first intersection, going maybe 200-300 meters, and it's going to be on the right side, around tomb, let's say about domb. Depends from where you're coming and one your headstone. And it's written over there, Rabbi Yehuda Zeev Leibovich. Every eve of Shabbos, he was walking with 10 chalot, almost maybe a lot of times he was doing that with 10 chalot and giving that to the poor people in Tel Aviv. He was working in the Iriya city hall. He was measuring roads, Moded Drachim. This is how he was hiding himself. Huge. Measuring roads. He also had a stamp that is the Admor Mitel Aviv, the Rebbe Mitel Aviv, the Admor Mitel Aviv. He had a stamp like that also. He was very hidden. Very, 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 very hidden. He said to Arav Shalom that when he's going to get famous, he's going to have to leave this world. And this is actually what that really happened also. Rabbi David Chaim Stern said after that he passed away that in the day, Kafzayin Be'elul, 3 years ago, the day that he passed away, in that day, 1 million Jews were supposed to lose their life, to die, in that day. And he replaced them. He died instead of 1 million Jews. This was his weight, his importance. Like 1 million Jews. Can someone imagine something like that? 1 million Jews. I heard Rabbi David Chaim Stern say those words in his mouth, with those hidden ears. 1 million Jews were supposed to die in that day, Kafzayin Be'elul, 3 years ago. Rav Shalom was crying. We were in Uman, and Rav Shalom was crying like a baby. Mashi was crying like a baby. He was supposed to come to Uman Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yehuda Zeev Leibovich, in that year. He had a ticket ready, reserved. He was supposed to live with Rav Shalom in the house, the apartment of Rav Shalom over there in Uman. Everything was ready, everything was fixed. Rav Shalom said they kidnapped him from us. Chatfu oto meitanu. They took him. Had huge, huge, huge powers. Huge powers. That holy tzaddik. He never got married. He murdered his fiancée in Hungary before of getting married when he was 17 years old. He told another story. When the Nazis came to Urshave, he ran to hide in the Bet Knesset. And there was another Jew that always was praying Shacharit after the Minyan. He would come in the time that the Minyan finished, something like 10. We're talking about a Satmir city, so it was a late Minyan. And he was praying alone, probably. And he was praying alone. And he was doing every day something like, if this is what I remember, something like 2 hours Shmona Esrei every day. He was just closing his eyes, standing on the stage, on the bima, and praying and singing to Hashem all alone, every day. This was his shacharit, always alone, always to Hashem. And when the Nazis came to the city, Rabbi Yehuda Zeev ran into the Bet Knesset to hide. And he hid in one of the closets of the Bet Knesset. And he said that the Nazis came into the Bet Knesset, and they were running inside, and they were looking for Jews, and throwing tables. And that Jew is standing on the stage and praying his Shmona Esrei without paying attention to nothing that goes on around him, and they haven't seen him. They were running after behind him, in his sides, looking for other Jews, couldn't see him. he was just standing and praying Shmona Esra. He told about Rabbi Yoel Misatmer, that when the Nazis, one time Rabbi Yoel Misatmer, he said, I never heard it before, but maybe Hasid Misatmer know that story, famous story, that he was walking, he was invisible in front of the Nazi soldiers, officers. They couldn't see him. And he wrote, he said that it's because of his Kedushat HaBrit, a tzaddik that is so holy that his Kedushat HaBrit is perfect, he can be invisible. He said also that it's written, that it's known that that the Rav Eliashiv Zatzal, he was learning alone. And all of the students and everyone that know him knew that he was sitting and learning alone. Rabbi Yehuda Zelberovich said that he was sitting and learning Chavruta all of his life with the first hidden tzaddik from the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, that he is invisible. That he is Ro'e Ve'eno Nireh. And he was sitting, Rav Eliashiv with him. He said that Rav Eliashiv was also from the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim Nistarim of the generation. He said that also Rav Shach was one of the hidden tzaddikim of the generation. He said on Rav Eliashiv that his Gdula in Poskim, this was his disguise. This is how that he was hiding himself, that he was one of the Nistarim. That everyone knew him as a Posek, and by that they couldn't recognize that he was a Nistar, that he was a hidden tzaddik. This was his disguise, Rav Eliashiv. One time, the Baba El Azar came to Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich. He was looking for Rav Leibovich. And he came to his house, and he knocked at his door, Baba El Azar. And he asked him, you are Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich? He told him, I'm Yehuda. So he told him, I want to talk to you. I'm El Azar, Abu Chatzira. Rabbi Yehuda Zev hid himself from Baba El Azar. After a while, he said that, and he didn't reveal himself to him. He just rejected Baba El Azar from him. And he said that he felt bad with himself after that because he was a pure soul, because he was a Neshama Teorah. He was worthy to see him, to meet him, to talk with him, Baba El Azar. But he wasn't. He was so hidden. Even to real, huge, hidden tzaddikim, he wasn't revealing himself. This is the rabbi of our rabbi. Rav Shalom said that Rav Yehuda Zev said that a person cannot call himself Rebbe until that when a person enters into the room, he knows exactly all of the details and all of his Gilgulim, all of his lifetimes, until that he knows everything and what that he requires to fix himself, he cannot call himself a Rebbe. Cannot be a Rebbe. One time there was a person that came to his house and he had the belt of Rabbi Ze'ev Wolf Kitzes, that he was one of the most important students of Baal Shem Tov, a huge Hasid, a huge Admor. And that person had the belt of Rabbi Ze'ev Wolf. I think that his name was also Rabbi Ze'ev Wolf, maybe, I'm not sure. And when he came to Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev, he wanted to show him that belt, that he's gonna, it's a minhag to wear that belt, it's helping, you receive from the Kedusha of the Tzaddik that wear that thing. When Rabbi David Chaim Stern came to the house of Rav Shalom, I told you about that Motzei Shabbat, so when Rabbi David Chaim Stern took off his hat, he wanted to hand the hat to the helper. So Rav Shalom, stretched out his hand to take the hat. So Rabbi David Chaim Stern told him, no, and he gave it to the helper. After a while, Rav Shalom took the hat and put it on his head. Even though that Rabbi David Chaim Stern told him not to do that. So when that person came with that belt to Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev, and he offered Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev to enjoy that belt, Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev refused. And he wasn't even looking at that belt. So that person was afraid, maybe it's something defected, maybe something is wrong, but he went away. After it, I think it was Rav Aaron, millions of stories with Rav Aaron, he's got a huge, he's the Mohel of our yeshiva now. He's the Mohel of our yeshiva. Rav Shalom said that everyone that Rav Aaron is circumcising his son, that son will not gonna have Dama Brit. Gonna be a holy boy, gonna be a righteous man. So Rav Aaron, I think, he asked Rav Yehuda Ze'ev why he didn't take the belt. Maybe it's not the real belt of Rabbi Ze'ev Wolf. So he told him, no, it is. So he told him, why you didn't take it? So he told him, I didn't want it to fail in Lo Tachmod. Not to have a desire to something that is not yours. So he wasn't even looking on that belt. Because he knew that he's going to have a desire to that belt. Didn't want to see it even. Not even to fall Chas Shalom in that love Chas Shalom. Such kosher people. So let's learn a little bit from Likutei Moharan. On his deathbed, before that he passed away, Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev, one of his helpers, Rav Tzion, came to him and he called him Tzion, I think his name was Tzion. Called him Tzion, so he came to him and he grabbed his peot and he held them so strong and he told him, Tel Am Yisrael she'achzeru b'tshuva. He was pulling his peot, screaming, Tel Am Yisrael she'achzeru b'tshuva. Tel Am Yisrael she'achzeru b'tshuva. One time, Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev was in his house and Rabbi David Chaim Shtern, I think he was the first one, came at the door, knocked on the door of the house of his son, Rabbi Aaron, and he entered. When he entered, Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev asked Rabbi Aaron, was he in the Holocaust? Rabbi David Chaim Shtern, was he in the Holocaust? So Rabbi Aaron told him, no, he wasn't in the Holocaust. After a while, Rabbi Chacham Avraham Chai, one of the hidden tzaddikim, came also to the house. In the moment that he came in, Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev asked, Rabbi Aaron, was he in the Holocaust? He said, no, Chacham Avraham Chai wasn't in the Holocaust. There came a third tzaddik, I don't remember his name, third hidden tzaddik, came. When he came, also went into the house, Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Leibovich asked, Aaron, was he in the Holocaust? He said, no, Rav, he wasn't in the Holocaust. Then Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev said, so why they came to me? Because they want me to bring the salvation, to bring Mashiach. They know what's going to happen if Mashiach is going to come now. They weren't in the Holocaust, so they can never tell. They don't know what can be if Mashiach is going to come. We want the salvation, he said, we want the salvation to come, that even one hair from the head of a Jew will not going to fall to the floor. That no Jew is going to have no sorrow in the salvation. And he rejected them. They came with an intention to force him to bring Mashiach. Means that he had that ability. Some people said that he was the number two in the list of the Tzadikim Nistarim. I asked Rav Aaron if he was... I told Rav Aaron that I heard that he was number two. And maybe he was number one. So Rav Aaron told me, for me, he was Mashiach ben David. Rabbi Yosef Leibovich, Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Livracha. After they went out from the place, from his house, they said, I think it was Rabbi David Chaim Shtern that he said, what he done with the fact that he rejected that? Rejected it, he pushed it 20 years forward. Actually, there are real tzaddikim that still afraid that they're going to be a horrible war, that they're going to be Gog and Magog, real righteous people, that they're afraid they're going to be something. Rabbi David Chaim Shtern said that the Holocaust was child's play. Compared to what it's going to be here before of the Holocaust.
Before
of the Gog and Magog, before of the salvation. But I'm telling you again and again and again and again and again. And I know that this is the real opinion of Rav Shalom Arush, our rabbi. That Rav Shalom said that on every decree that ever happened, that ever was in Am Yisrael, when we were doing Hafatzah, it would cancel every decree. And he said that Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich told him a path that through Hafatzah he can bring salvation with Rachmanut. And I'm telling you that, Geulah Berachamim, and I'm telling you that even hidden tzaddikim are not aware to the abilities of our Rebbe through Hafatzah. What if we, us, as his followers, as his students, can do with Hafatzah? Things that even the real righteous people in this generation are not aware to that ability. The weapon that we got through Hafatzah distributes that wonderful, amazing wisdom of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev, through the handwriting and wisdom of Rav Shalom Arush. Today came out that new book on Tikkun HaBrit. What's his name?
Brit Shalom.
Brit Shalom. Beriti Shalom. Pachad Pchadim, Rabbo Yisai. Fear of all fears. Rav Shalom said that from the day that that book went out to the world, one third of that horrible lust for women been erased from the world, been cancelled. Just that the book came out. He said that the hidden tzaddikim told him that from all of the books that been written on Shalom Bayit in all of the generations, his book, Garden of Peace, it's the most important book that been written ever. And from all of the books that been written about faith in all of the generations, his book, Garden of Faith, it's the most important book. And more on all of other subjects, on money matters, garden of richness, wealth, all of those books. And if you think that I'm crazy, you're right. You're more than right. I'm crazy about our rabbi, and you should be crazy about him also. Take his books and read them over and over and over and over. There is no book that is stronger than the book Education with Love of Rav Shalom. No book that is stronger than book. Garden of, how do you call it? Gan HaGa'aguim? Yearning. Garden of Yearning. There is no book that ever been written that is more important than that book. Cannot explain how much. Take those books and read them. And us, students of Rav in the yeshiva, we have the biggest yetzara of them all. And Rav Shalom told me that. When I finished the book, Education with Love, I told that to Rav Shalom, and I told him it was a huge difficulty for me to come to that book. And he told me, look, a righteous man cannot survive in this world if there is no arguments and machloket, arguments on him. He cannot survive without machloket. And on me, on Rav Shalom, he said, who can argue with me? I'm not doing nothing bad to no one. I'm just smiling to everyone and telling jokes and making everyone happy. But I also need to survive. So the argument that there are on me is that my students are not listening to me and they're not reading my books. So if you want to help him to have a long life, so keep on not reading his books.
So you should speak to him to such a gamor going next door.
So Rabbeinu in Likutei Moharan is saying that we should judge the tzaddikim in a positive way to kav zchut. Because you cannot catch a tzaddik, a person, on his sorrow, because of his sorrow. Because they're suffering, huge suffering from us. Because even what that is good for us, for them it's very bad for the righteous people. Like what they said, Rabotenu Zichronam Livracha in the Gemara Yevamot, Kol Tovatan Shel Reshaim, Ra'a Yetzel HaTzadikim. Thank you very much. Chazak u'Baruch.